Blog Talk Radio.
Sister in Abilene, Texas, named AJ Alicia. I call her AJ. AJ has been my co-radio host. AJ and I do a show together. We've been doing it for years. And AJ's going through a rough time. Down there in Abilene, Texas, there's a brush fire. And it's coming her way, and it is set to destroy, to take out all the houses in her neighborhood. And we spoke yesterday, and she's kind of worried, and we've been praying, and we've been calling on God on her behalf, and not just her behalf, but on behalf of that entire neighborhood. So I just finished getting off the phone with her just a few minutes ago, and she's got a hotel room secured, and her puppy are going to a hotel room, and I'll check on her later and make sure everything's okay. In addition, we have another sister in another part of the United States, Sister Irene, who underwent cataract surgery. She's recovering. I got to check on her in a few hours, see how she's doing. And that said, we're all marching to Zion. We're all scattered all over the place, God's people, but we're his people. We are the sheep of his pasture, this global pasture. and he loves us. So let us pray. Dear God, we have so many prayer requests here in St. Johnsville, and we have so many prayer requests from around the United States that come into us. We even have prayer requests that come in from overseas, from friends and Christians we know over many decades. And we pray, Lord, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters who are in need of God's shepherding. The great shepherd is the Lord, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the shepherd of all shepherds. Lord Jesus, watch over your flock. You who died and bled out that we might have eternal life, watch over every one of your sheep. Watch over your people this morning. And bless this study, we pray. We pray as we carry all of our brothers and sisters and their needs in our hearts with us today. They shall be constantly our thoughts. Your people, some under attack by nature, some under who have undergone surgery, some who are undergoing attacks from the enemy of our souls, whatever their situation, we carry them in our thoughts, we carry them in our hearts, and we pray, Lord, all day long. We pray without ceasing for all of these needs. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been in this study now since Monday, and our prayer is that God will perfect us. The series title is Perfect Me, O Lord. Perfect Me. That word perfect, again, we saw yesterday, means that God is going to bring me into compliance. He designed me a certain way. He designed you to be a certain way. And he will make sure that we do what? We comply to his designs, that we will actually function and work as he so designed us to do. The Lord will perfect. The Lord will perform. The Lord will put me together in such a way that I will work as he so desires. The psalmist says, the Lord will perfect the church. No, that's not what he says. The Lord will perfect the leaders. No, that's not what he said. The Lord will perfect my wife. No, that's not what he said. Now, I can assure you the church needs perfecting. The leaders need perfecting. My dear wife needs perfecting, but that's not what it says. The psalmist says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. In other words, the psalmist says, I shouldn't be butting my nose into other people's lives and see what stage of perfection they're in. I should focus on me. Has God worked on me? Do I let God work on me? Do I yield to God that he may work on me? Listen, saints, I've learned this long ago. If I want a better marriage, and I used to be a marriage counselor. If I want a better marriage, I need for God to work on me. That's the bottom line. So as I used to talk to couples, okay, I would encourage the husband, let God work on you. No, but you don't understand, Pastor. My wife over here, she's trouble. And then the wife will look, no, you don't understand, Pastor. He's trouble. That's what I mean, saints. Take personal responsibility. Let the husband yield himself to Christ. Let the wife yield herself to Christ, and you'll have a better marriage. Because, you know, when people come to counseling, they always want me to fix the other person. They don't want me to fix them, or they don't want me to, you know, lay it, the responsibility on them. No, Pastor, no, you got it all wrong. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not to blame, Pastor. The husband tells me I'm not to blame. She's to blame. And vice versa. And you never get anything done when you're pointing the finger at the other person. Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned, if you recall, Eve said the serpent. And Adam said the wife. And everybody's blaming everybody. And no one's taking responsibility. And here the psalmist says, no, take responsibility and ask God to work on you. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. In other words, God, I'm not focused on my wife. I'm not focused on my mother-in-law. I'm not blaming it on my in-laws. Lord, work on me. If you make me a better person, my marriage will be better. Because no doubt we are contributors to the chaos. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Listen, you have to acknowledge that you are a project. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm good. Yes, you may be good, but would you admit that there's things concerning you that need polishing? Could you admit that perhaps there are some things in your character, in the way you conduct yourself, in your speech, in your tone, that needs working? And I don't mean, you know, going to a guru or going to a marriage counselor and you know, following these five steps of marital interaction. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about supernatural working, letting God work on you. I used to tell couples when I did marriage counseling, you have one session with me. I was a one-session pastor. One session. You weren't going to come to me for 20 weeks in a row. That's not how it worked with me. You had one shot to get it right. I wasn't going to come back week after week after week to hear the same baloney and hear the same arguments and hear the same accusations. I let you vent in one session. I let you vent. I let you share what you wanted to share. I let you point the finger as much as, and then in that one session, when it was my, after I let the husband talk, after I let the wife talk, I said, okay, now we're going to let God talk. And I would give them what the scripture said, and I said, this is it. This will work if you apply it, and if you don't apply it, you're going to have World War III. So what's to you? Do you want to live in a hell? Or do you want to live in heaven on earth? If you want to live on heaven on earth, then apply what the scripture says. And if you want to live in hell, keep fighting, keep pointing the finger, keep being at each other's throat. Go ahead. It's not my marriage. It's your marriage. So you decide. But as far as coming back here every week and venting and rehashing the same garbage and going over the same thing, and I'm talking to you and you're not listening because all you want to do is point the finger, we're not having that. If you look at the Bible, if you look at the New Testament, Jesus met with people once. He told them what to do once, and then he walked away. And that's the approach I use. I give you the Word of God. I tell you like it is. I tell you this will work if you apply it, but if you don't, you're going to destroy your marriage. So the psalmist says, hey, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. In other words, he says, I have concerns about myself. I'm not as far ahead in the Lord as I should be. I find that when I purpose to do some things, I don't do them. That I'm in this habitual rut where I promise to be more spiritual and I find myself wasting another day in the flesh. He says, oh God, finish the work that you started in me. Do the finishing touches. Turn me, take me from a Jacob, because you know, brothers and sisters, we're all Jacobs. We're all Jacobs. We all come out of the womb sinning. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. The Bible says every man, every woman comes out of the womb already sinning. We're all Jacobs. We all have a twisted sin nature. And it's only God who over time takes a Jacob and turns them into an Israel. It's only God. The name change came when God put the finishing touches on Jacob. That's when the name change came. And Jacob did not change his name. God changed his name when he put the finishing touches on him. When God perfected Jacob, when God took Jacob and put him on that potter's wheel and broke him down and remade him again to the vessel that he wanted, then he says, your name was Jacob, but from this day forward, it shall be Israel. You are the finished product. You are now where I want you to be. Now notice, Jacob wasn't blaming his father, which many people tend to do. I didn't have a good father, or I didn't have a good mother, or I didn't have great siblings. And all that may be true. But the psalmist says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. God, work on me. You know, as a pastor, when I go before the Lord every day in prayer, whether it be in the morning or the noontime prayer meeting, or, you know, in the evening when I'm praying for all the families in the church, when I go before the Lord, I start out with me, Lord, me a better pastor. Work on all those things you don't like, which reside in my heart and in my mind. Change my way of thinking. Change my way of talking. Let me have God thoughts. And when I talk, let me talk the way Jesus would have me to talk. Let me talk and let me use the language and the soft words and the tender words and the loving words that Jesus would approve of. Let me be understanding. Let me be respectful. Let me hear people out. Instead of, you know, just jumping and giving my opinion, let me just hear them out first. Let me be patient. Let me be long-suffering. You know, those are all the things that pastors need to have in their personal ministry toolbox. And every day I go before the Lord, and not just for the people, but let me have all of that for my wife also. Let me have all of that. Let me apply all of that for my children. God, in other words, what I'm saying to the Lord is, Lord, perfect Linda or perfect the kids. Lord, perfect. Make me a light in the midst of darkness. Let me be an example of a godly man. Bring me to maturity. You know, Paul says, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Here's an interesting series of statements in this chapter of love. Chapter of love. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, when God perfected me, you know, a child is not perfected. A child is on their way to perfection. An embryo in a mother's womb, a little kernel of life. And then month after month it develops, and then it comes out of its mother's womb, and then it needs to be nurtured and cared for, and then it begins the growth process from baby to child to adolescent, right, to youth, to a young adult. So notice, Paul says, when I was a child, you can expect me to do childish things. But here I am at 63. See, am I still a child? Am I still throwing myself on the floor and having tantrums because I don't get things my way? Or has God perfected me, and have I put away childish things? At 63, I shouldn't be a child. But I know many, many in my age group that are babies. They have to have it their way. Well, Paul says, when I became a man, when I came to natural perfection, when my arms were the right size and my legs were the right size to determine manhood, and my brain and my skull, when I developed into full manhood, my heart caught up with my body. See, your body develops. The question is your brain catching up with your, do you have a man's body but a child's brain or a child's mentality? Paul says, when I became a full man in the natural, I put away childish things. You see, that's perfection, saints. And our prayer is not that God would protect the person, perfect the person on my left hand or on my right side. Oh, you know, Sister Linda Hart, on the Monday night prayer meeting, she talked about the publican prayer, the publican and the Pharisee, and how the Pharisee was saying, "Hey, I'm so glad I'm not like this publican. I'm so." You see, we measure ourselves by the person standing next to us or sitting next to us, and that's where the Pharisee blew it, because the Pharisee should have been focused on the Pharisee. The Pharisee should have said, "Oh, God, perfect that which concerneth me." But he was worried about, he was concerned about if God was perfecting the publican. Meanwhile, he needed much perfecting. And he left the way with no perfection. The publican humbled himself. The publican owned up to his sin. The publican said, "Yes, Lord, I'm all of this. It's true. I don't deserve to stand before you." And he left perfected. But the guy who was pointing at him and saying he was a no-gooder, who himself needed perfection and work on, he left as a child. Child's mentality. So that's what it means, saints. The psalmist isn't praying for God to mature other people. He's not saying, "Hey, I'm surrounded by all these babies in church." You know, I met a man not too long ago who was telling me that in his church, he's surrounded by immature babies. They're all babies. The only spiritual one here is me. I'm the only one who hears from God. I'm the only one who reads the Bible. I'm the only one God speaks to. The rest of these over here, I'm surrounded by all babies, ministerial babies, spiritual babies. They don't know the Bible. They don't know how God moves. They don't. And I'm saying to myself, "Lord, give me words for this man." And when he finished, and I let him have his good rant, when he finished, I said, "Brother, you're the problem, not them. You are like the Pharisee. Only see wrong in others, and you do not see the heap of wrong in you." My brothers and sisters, let us pray. Listen, I'm not denying that people need work on them. Look, we're all a work in progress. But I have so much work that needs to be done on me that I don't have time to focus on you. I have a speck in my eye. I'll deal with my speck. You deal with your speck. I'll come with my speck before the Lord, and you go with your speck before the Lord. I won't focus on you. You won't focus on me. Let us just focus on each other right now. I mean, when it comes to self-improvement, we're talking about, right? When we want to own up to our sin, let me just come up to God, or with my sinful nature, let me just come to God and say, "God, work on me." You know, I'll close with this example. When I go to the barbershop, and the barbershop is always filled, there's always a couple of guys there, and the barber says, "Who's next?" When the next person sits in the chair, the barber will never ask me, oh, what kind of haircut does he want? No. You know what the barber does? The barber asks the person in the chair, what would you like me to do for you? It's the same thing with the Lord. When you sit in the Lord's chair and the Lord is about to give you a makeover, the Lord doesn't ask those sitting around in the barbershop, what do you think he needs? No, the Lord will ask you, how do you want your hair cut? Do you want a trim? Do you want a full haircut? Do you want a shave? Are you coming here for a haircut and a shave? What is it that you, why are you sitting in this chair? I've never been, now, of course, when I was a little boy, and my grandmother would sit me in the barber's chair, and the barber would never ask me as a little boy, why did you bring him? My grandmother would say, okay, just give him a crew cut, take that buzzer and just shave everything off. It was always a crew cut. That's how they saved money back then. They just lapped it all off, and you were like a little porcupine. You had spikes all over your head for a couple of weeks, and that was it. But the barber did not ask me when I was a little boy. He asked my grandmother. That was it. But when I became a man, the barber asked me. He never asked any of the men sitting there drinking coffee waiting for their turn. He always asked me what I wanted done. And that's the way it is in this text. No one is going to go before the Lord and tell the Lord what you need. You need to go to the Lord and say to the Lord, this is the kind of job, this is the kind of makeover I need for you to do in my life. So let's leave it there. I hope you go to the Lord. I hope you understand that it is not Pastor Torres that will perfect you. I can't. I can't even perfect myself. I too have to run to the Lord. I too have to humble myself under his mighty hand and say, Lord, perfect that which concerneth me. I hope and pray you do the same. And if you do the same, and if I do the same, and if we all do the same, Grace Church will be a glorious church because it will be filled with people whom God has worked on. And that's what we need. Well, let me leave it there, and we'll close out with a hymn. And don't forget to pray for Sister AJ, Sister Alicia, as I call her AJ. And don't forget to pray for Sister Irene and all the others who we've been notified on the prayer chain. God bless you. Thank you.